Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your play apartment, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the
cuff, baby. What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the Queen of Trap, representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. It's Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
Alrighty then, we are at episode 509 for an exclusive interview on Off the Cuff Radio. I'm your host, King Eric the Media Assassin, and this show is sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Fleetwood and the Cotton Pickers, Core Financial, Jesse's Boutique. I got my host T-Max with the facts in the building. We'll be joined later by Pittsburgh Pat. What's good, my man?
What's going on, Pat? What's going on with you?
Oh, he's going to be here shortly, man. He's going to join us in a few, but nevertheless,
okay.
Man, this is a special show right here, man, and we have a legend on the line, a man that pioneered what we consider DJing, podcasting, being a personnel in hip-hop, and a part of the reason why we do what we do today.
Absolutely. This man right here is one half of the dynamic duo of Yo MTV Raps. And from its inception, coming after Rap City, it really, really, really set the tone for broadcasting hip-hop culture on a worldwide level, pretty much from the 80s on to the 90s. It was a groundbreaking show because it showed the different dimensions. Of course, we can't forget Fab Five Freddy, you know, who played a great instrumental part as well in it. If you're old enough like we are to remember all the people, the countless numbers of people that came on the show, you know, Airb and Rakim, Nice and Smooth, Pete Rock and CL Smooth, you know, MC Light, so many. You understand how it was part of that golden era of hip-hop that resonates so dearly, that is so revered, that is so treasured. And we are on this show tonight to interview one half of the Dr. Dre, Ed Lover tag team of tremendous that made our memories so tremendous. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, DJ Dr. Dre. Welcome, 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 legend.
Hey, thank you so much. The blessings are all mine. I appreciate that, but I have to just make one small correction. We predated
please,
Rap
please.
City.
Okay,
we predated
Rap
City. We were after Video Music Box in the tri-state area, and the thing that
okay.
made us so, I should say, welcoming is we were there before there was rap radio across the country. It was my partner
Absolutely.
Ed and I who actually started the first morning hip-hop show in New York at Hot 97 with Ed, Lisa, and Dre in the morning. and my man Kurt Flirt, Wayne Mayo, Al Barry, and a cast of characters that goes on and on. We also don't want to forget in the Yo MTV Raps Today show with us was my partner T-Money, who was there with us, Yo Mailman.
Shout out T-Money, man.
So, yes. So big blessings to all those who contributed to that incredible, incredible opportunity with from the late, great Peter Daugherty, the late, great Ted Demme, Moses Edinburgh, the late, great Todd One, Penny McDonald, Martha Diaz, Jack Benson. The list goes on and on for whoever I may have missed. The great crew in the studio who helped us out, Warren on the camera, Joey Piccola inside the booth, so many incredible folks. It wasn't just a one-man effort. And also, big blessing and shout-out to the one and only Fab Five Freddy, who actually hosted the weekend version and gave Ed and I the opportunity to host the daily version. So I never sit there and say that we did it all by ourselves, but it was the blessings of a lot of folks that gave us those opportunities to be on the Yo MTV Raps Today show and make it what it became. And it was the fact that when you saw Yo MTV Raps Today, weekend, or whichever, there was no city represented. It was Yo MTV Raps, period. So whether you were from Compton, Detroit, Houston, Atlanta, Miami, Jersey, New York, Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, Manhattan, Nassau, Suffolk County, you name it, Yo MTV Raps represented. Big shout out to Ralph McDaniels and Lionel Martin, the Vid Kid, for Video Music Box, because they were a great lead for us to be what we were. And the Carlos De Jesus with New York Hot Tracks. I mean, when Yo came out, there was no radio, hip-hop radio around the country, no rap shows. Very small pockets. I came from college radio to the blessing of doing commercial radio in New York, in L.A., around the country, and around the world.
Definitely.
So
Ed and I
were in Russia before Brittany Griner got caught in Russia, in St. Petersburg, at the White Nights Festival with the great legends Salt and Pepper and Spinderella. Oh, yeah. So I diminish no one in their efforts to re-spreading hip-hop and rap music around the globe like peanut butter on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's what we did. That's what we do to this day. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your blessings, for your love, for having me be here with you today. And I'm going to be quiet for a minute. Thank you again.
Man, the pleasure's all ours. I mean, dude, you, like you said, man, you running down the list of all of those people who were so instrumental. You know, one thing about it, you know, Doc, is that when we look at hip-hop culture at that time, you know, we're looking at it going back, really, you could say, in the 50s with James Brown in terms of with him and the JBs, with the breakbeats.
Go further back.
Huh?
Further back. Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong.
Okay.
Cab Calloway.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
Lou Costello, Danny Kaye.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
They were rapping. Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
They were rapping.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't called the same thing. It may have been called scatting. It may have been called
riffing.
Or as James Brown would say, I can dig rapping. Ha! But I can't dig that backstabbing. Come on, man. Come on, man. This rap music has been around. As Muhammad Ali would say, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, the greatest of all time. And, of course, the legend who helped make them that way, Bundini Brown. Come on, man. This is what we are. This is a part of our life's culture as African Americans, as people of color, all peoples of color. We all dropped the beat, spoke our language, put it in a rhyme so we couldn't get caught saying what we did. Believe me when I say we have to sell. We have to learn to stop cookie-cuttering our history and start celebrating the legends, the prophets, and all the originators of how we got here. Because when I hear Ella Fitzgerald, I go, damn, she's incredible. When I hear Nina Simone rocking that microphone, whoa. Even Stevie Wonder got down. And I'm not talking about them, just Do I Do. People got down. Marvin Gaye. This is what they did. The thing is, they didn't have a name. And they didn't. The one thing about hip-hop culture first, which deals with graffiti, the music, it deals with the art, it deals with the fashion, it deals with the perspective of the neighborhood, taking nothing and making something. And the reason I say rap music, because the show wasn't called Yo MTV Raps Hip Hop. It was called Yo MTV Raps for a reason, because we were talking about rap music. So when the Sugar Hill Gang came around with Rapper's Delight, not Hip Hop Delight, even though they said hip hop, hippie, hippie, dippy, dip, dip, dop, you don't stop. They were rapping to the song, sing-song beat. From the Cold Crush Brothers, the Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Spoonie G, DJ Flowers, the great king of rap, Curtis Blow. I mean, the list goes on and on, on and on. Funky Four plus one more. I mean, can I do it? The Sequence, who wrote music such as Apache for Sugar Hill Gang. So let's be inclusive and stop being exclusive. Give credit and praise to all that led the way. Because I was a fan. I'm still a fan. Fan of the music. Fan of the culture. Fan of what I was blessed with being a part of. Still am.
I mean, and it's wild because when we look at that era, you know, as you said, Doc, you know, we're looking at a time in the 80s, you know, when it really becomes, of course, Def Jam, you know, being the label. It was really, you could say, the second rap label behind Sugar Hill, you know, of course, you know, shout out, of course, you know, to Russell Simmons and Rick Rubin, you know, the founders of the label. And it was really, you saw it pushing forward in terms of really being that single, one of those identities of it. And a lot of people, especially for being a representation of black and brown culture, but you had so many others, it wasn't just relegated to that. It was white people, it was Asians. If you were in New York, you know, where it started and it caught on all over, you were a part of it. But also,
big shout out to
like
Mantronics. Big shout out to Jess Tice. Big shout out to the Rocksteady crew. Big shout out. Don't let me start. Big shout out to Lovebug Starsky, Busy Bee Starsky.
Go ahead.
Big shout out. Come on, man.
Everybody.
Come on, man. Jimmy Spicer, The Adventures of Super Rhymes. It's Super Rhymes. Big shout out to Original Concept and The Concept. Big shout out to Spectrum City, also known as Public Enemy. Big shout out to WBAU 90.3 FM at Adelphi University, the one and only Mr. Bill Stephanie, soon to be president of the Def Jam. Big shout out to President Hank Shockley, Wizzy KG, Keish, a.k.a. Keish Shockley, Butch Cassidy, Chucky D, the one and only Flavor, MC DJ Flavor, a.k.a. Flavor Flav. Big shout out to Howard McGregor, a.k.a. Harry Allen. I got to ask him. Big shout out to Professor Andre. I mean, the list goes on. For Bill, Chuck, Harry, and myself being in that black music class at Adelphi University. I mean, the shout out. Big shout out to John Schmidt, who held it all together for us at WBAU and made sure that we could broadcast all over the tri-state area. Big shout out to the one and only DJ, cool DJ Red Alert, Chuck Chill Out, Marley Marl, and of course the master pioneer behind the microphone, Mr. Magic, super blast. Big shout out to Africa Islam. Big shout out to Africa Bambaataa and the Soul Sonic Force. Big shout out to Cool Herc. Big shout, must I get Hercules? Must I continue? Big shout out to UTFO and Full Force. Big shout out to Roxanne Shante. Big shout out to the real Roxanne. Do I need to continue? Big shout out to all the female rappers that don't get their light Oh, MC Light, big shout out to MC Light. Big shout out to Queen Latifah. Big shout out to Lil' Kim, Foxy Brown. Big shout out to all those women that held it down, the Mercedes ladies. Do I need to go on?
Sherry Sayre, yeah, Mercedes ladies, absolutely. Yeah,
it's infinite.
All of them.
It's infinite. Yeah. Why is it infinite? Because that is what made us today. And my thing is, I try to get people to stop slicing hip-hop up and defining it from this piece of the culture to this little piece to name it this. I said, no. Because when you talk about rock and roll, they don't slice up rock and roll and split it apart. They call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, period. That's it. And a lot of people sit
yeah.
up to this. They even try, and they've elected Dolly Parton into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Big shout out to the Beastie Boys. I DJed for them. Big shout out to Run DMC. How can we forget Run DMC and the late, great Jam Master? How do you forget LL Cool J and Cut Creator. How do you, I mean, we just forget who Deanie and Grandmaster, how do you forget? How do you put that aside like that didn't happen? How? Only in rap music, only in hip-hop do we eliminate our history. Big shout-out to 50 Cent and G-Unit.
G-Unit.
Big shout-out to Eminem. Big shout-out to Snoop Dogg. Big shout-out to Dr. Dre. Big shout-out to N.W.A. Big shout-out to Ice Cube. Big shout-out to Too Short. Big shout-out to That's Yo MTV Raps. We never put boundaries on Outkast, Goody Mob, Two Live Crew, Uncle Luke. We never put boundaries on MC Breed. We never put boundaries on Sir Mix-a-Lot. We never put boundaries on Tone Loke. We never put boundaries on Body and Soul, Def Jeff. Do I need to go on? Oh, I could go on. Big shout out to Master P and Company and C Murder. Big shout out to that whole crew. Big shout out to Lil Wayne and Company and the Birdman. Big shout. See, that was Yo MTV Raps. That's what we always did.
And that's why we love y'all.
Always represented people from my DJing in the street to Newcastle mm-hmm. Park and blowing it up there to DJing around the globe. And I just find it funny how we're dismissive of our history, and everything is about, oh, well, you ain't this now, you ain't that now. Well, guess what? The one thing no artist can run away from is time.
Mm.
Nobody outbeats the clock. You can try. Nobody outbeats the clock. So blessings
what was it
like? All everybody. Doing what they're doing today. That's why people say, well, Drake, what do you think about rap music today? I said, I listen to what I like, and then if I don't, I won't. Same thing I did back in the day growing up. Big shout out
what
to
was it like?
Sean.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, Drake, we can't forget the Source Magazine, right? And we can't forget John Blaster and the Word Up Magazine.
I can't.
Founder.
I can forget the Source Magazine. And I can forget Vibe Magazine. Because if it wasn't for the Source Magazine and Vibe Magazine, two of our most potentially greatest writers and artists in the rap music hip-hop game wouldn't have been killed. And that's Tupac and the Notorious B.I.G. I blame them because they're the ones who put the East Coast-West Coast War on a cover of a magazine. So you instigated a fight that wasn't there. And if
right.
Yo MTV Raps with Dr. Dre and that Love and T-Money and Fab Five was still on the air, that would have never happened. Never. Because even when Tupac got in trouble on our show and Ed had to cover up his mouth because he said, man, you're going to get them to subpoena this tape. going off. And what happened? Exactly
right.
that. So when, I mean, I hold no ill will to the makers. I remember when the Source Magazine was a folded piece of paper. That's how far back I go. I remember when Quincy Jones was pumping the idea of Vibe. And the one thing we said to them is, y'all got to keep it real. And the only thing I got to give credit to the Source is they were smart enough to put Dr. Dre, Ed Lover, and Fab Five Freddy on the cover of the Source magazine once. Where was everybody else? And again, I don't hold bitter to anybody. And also,
right.
I think it was Yo Magazine put us on the cover too. Yes. But it's funny that time goes by and people try to treat us like we didn't do anything. And there's so many derivatives. And I don't want to use the word copycat because no matter what you do, everything always grows and there's always a new person stepping in. And I always hope blessings to them. Like I said, we didn't originate it, but we did a damn good job making sure we spread the word to the world. That's what we did.
Man, when you look at the culture, when you look at the culture of how it was rolling.
Because you guys, I would say that you guys would have been catalyst to pretty much put a lot of that drama aside because what you guys bring, because you know Tupac and Biggie love both of y'all. So y'all would have been the bridge to bring them back together.
We would have probably reunited them on the set of Yo MTV Raps, just like the rumor about MC Search and Hammer at the last episode of Yo, and Yo, didn't so-and-so come with this? I said, let me tell you something. That last episode, nobody came in there without love. That was an episode of love. That's why so many great people, KRS-One, Rakim, Hammer, MC Shan, the list goes on, Search and company. All were there rhyming on that episode. So you can't walk in a room like that and thinking about animosity amongst each other. That's just a blame game.
Whoop.
I don't care what anybody says. Oh, Hammer ain't real. Yes, he was. Hammer outsold everybody. One record? Wow. Oh, it ain't about that. Got to keep it real. Really, what, Hambone? I say to every MC out there or rapper who wants to keep it super real, sign over your royalties to me, and you can keep it real, and I'll keep it rich. You keep it real, I'll keep it rich. There you go.
What was it like watching a lot of these artists? Because we're going through the 80s into the early 90s when we're watching a lot of these artists start their career, and you all are being active participants and chronicling and boosting their rise. What is it like to see guys like, you know, Ice-T, N.W.A. when they were starting, Q when he went solo, KRS, Public Enemy, you know, Salt and Pepper, you know, Master Ace, you know, because you were part of that where they were just starting or where they were already established and you were helping to push that along. What was it like to see that baby of hip-hop and just really, really grow up to really find its voice, to not only find its voice, but to be reaching all over, and you all being the ambassadors of such an important piece of American history?
Well, for me, it was easy because I came from what I call the greatest hip-hop incubator in history, which was WBAU at Adelphi University with my partners at Spectrum City, a.k.a. the incubation of Public Enemy, the concept becoming the original concept, and watching and interviewing KRS-One and Scott LaRock for the first time at WBAU, interviewing Afrika Bambaataa at BAU, interviewing the Jazz and Jay-Z at WBAU. I mean, do I need to keep going on? Interviewing Salt-N-Pepa and De La Soul at WBAU. By the time I got to Yo MTV Raps and have been very well permeated throughout rap music and hip-hop and having Run DMC and LL Cool J join us on our shows, the Beastie Boys on our shows, we were used to that incubation and growth period, to doing shows with New Edition at the Roller Castle while I'm DJing and LL Cool J's rhyming on the beat. Chuck always reminds me of that. Makes me laugh. I said, I forgot I did that. let's see. I mean, you were talking about growth of artists and watching them grow, watching the rise of NWA through Yo MTV Raps. Some people always say, oh, well, they were on the radio. They were never on radio like that because their records weren't clean like that. Even Greg Mack from L.A. will tell you that they had to edit their versions so much. Even when they took Original Concepts Knowledge Meet and Can You Feel It and Pump That Bass, songs I did and created with Original Concept and put it on Boys in the Hood, you know, our impact was vast. We were signed to Def Jam, so they had access to this music. For Ice Cube calling me and telling me he's going to leave NWA because he wasn't getting paid. And I had to pick him and his fiance up with T. Shockley and drive him to 510 South Franklin in Hempstead to meet the Bomb Squad and Chuck so they could work on America's Most Wanted. I did that. That was missing from the Straight Outta Fiction, I mean Compton movie. That happens, you know.
Right.
To Ice-T being a guest star in our movie Who's the Man as a drug pusher and now spending 24 years on television as a cop. You explain that to me. You have Ice Cube saying F the police.
Yeah.
You got Ice-T saying cop killer, and both of them play cops to become huge movie stars and TV stars. You explain that to me. Yo, MTV Raps. Period. That's what it was. That's what it was. Queen Latifah's rise through Yo, MTV Raps. Moni Love, my homegirl, love her to death. Yo, MTV Raps. MC Light, Yo, MTV Raps. So the beauty was we never held back anyone. The late, great Heavy D, Yo, MTV Raps. Mm. You know, what we did is we wanted to always expose folks. And if I'm missing and not saying your name, E-40 and company from the Bay Area, no slight. Everyone came through Yo. Even my homegirl, Dee Barnes, who we used to manage. And you can read this in my book, Yo Biggest Stuff, the Dr. Dre episodes from 1989 to 1995, which chronicles our history on Yo and TV Raps. Man,
right.
So I'll let you know when that comes out. And everybody can say, well, you're going to put it out. I keep waiting for COVID to be over. Even the president got COVID this week. So I'm not going out out at this moment. But anyway, all jokes aside, along with that, our rich history and blessings was the fact we actually talked to the people. We actually walked with the people. We were down at Freaknik in Atlanta when it happened. We were down in Miami at Strawberries with Luke. We were thrown out of Detroit, Michigan, at a birthday party for Luke and I. We used to throw birthday parties all the time. I was there as they showed on Straight Out of Compton or Fiction, whatever you want to call it, when they got ejected from the city of Detroit. We were on stage. I almost got arrested because Dre and Easy ran out the back door. And they said, there's Dr. Dre. That's the one. And I was like, no, that's your Fiction Raps. Yeah, that happened. That happened.
Man.
See, that's history. And that's why when you see the book, and right now we're putting together this documentary to discuss these type of incidents that happened, we really knew that what we did and our influence, before there was the internet, before everybody had a cell phone that wasn't a jack phone, before we went from CDs that we were just rocking cassettes and taping off the radio, we were yelling TV Raps. We filled more VHS cassette tapes than, let's see, X the Movie and Do the Right Thing. Yo, MTV Raps episodes from Fab to Dr. Dre, Ed Lover, and T-Money, all of us. That's our blessing. And it took a great, great amount of great people in front and behind the camera to bless us with that historical perspective.
I mean, when we look at it, and it's like, and one thing, this is a blessing. You know, we've gone over 500 shows, and I say that to say because we've interviewed a lot of people on this show, talked to them on the air and off air, and we've had discussions about in terms of what it was like during that time. You know, when you did videos, when you did features, how organic it was just to bring people on. And it was the same thing with what you guys did. It never seemed like it was forced. You already have relationships with some of these people prior to, and even the people you may not have known when they came on the show. It was so natural. It wasn't like there was this whole, convoluted commercial media campaign, It's like you all bought on people, and it fit. You know, it was you really represented that culture from a genuine perspective of, let's get these people on that are moving, that are popping, that are really, really, really pushing it forward. When you think about that time, Doctor, what was probably in terms of the live performances, which was many, because one of my favorites has to be that 92 performance with Eric B. and Rakim when they did Juice. And the, oh, God, that was just like, what were some of your most memorable performances by artists that you saw there that were like just became like that classic, like just cemented it?
Well, for Ed and I and T, we were blessed with the fact that when we did Spring Break, the early Spring Break, and we were literally unknown to them being able to command over 50 to 100,000 college kids on a Spring Break show, which featured Yo MTV Raps and featured the late, great Biz Markie, which featured A Tribe Called Quest and the late, great Fife, which featured the Leaders of the New School, which featured Cypress Hill. When we walked out there, and the interesting thing that day, we was to take that morning, and a hurricane came through.
Oh, man.
Blew the set away. Oh, yeah. It's live down in Daytona Beach. Blew the set away. We were like, dang. So late, great Ted Demme, who's producing our segments, Joe and company, were like, guys, stay ready. Because when time's right, we're going to go out there and we're going to get it. We'll try to get this in. Because we only had that day. And after that, we'd have lost the show. We would have lost it. So just to show you that the master planner, the creator, the spirit above, said, not today. Part them clouds. Give me some sun. Dry up the sand and bring out the fans. And we walked on the stage, set up the turntables. I started DJing. Ed walked out there. They dried the stage up. T walked out there. And we said, let's get this on. Let's do it. And when they went out there and those groups performed and we did that Yo thing, that was the pinnacle for us of what we accomplished in all those years. Because we took MTV and we said, here's a Crayola box. Everybody get a color and enjoy. And they all came out. And those people out there drenched in rain and water, sandy covered from the sand and being wet, and they partied with everybody. They walked the runway. They went out there. We played the music, and we had a ball. And when I look back on those blessings, and you say just even like the live Fridays that we did, everyone is unique to itself. Everyone from Run DMC going out, the Eric B. and Rakim, the Public Enemy, De La Soul, you name it, everybody's live performance. The great people who just came through like James Brown for a week and doing the Ed Lover dance. Pam Grier coming out, the beautiful Pam Grier. John Evans, you know, James Evans Sr. from Good Times to also co-star of Die Hard to countless great movies. John Amos to Mel Gibson coming out there in a kilt. Howard Stern talking us over the intercom on Yo MTV Raps. Our influence was widespread. Our first guest was Carole King, Hall of Fame.
Who wrote Hall of Fame.
Carole King. Carole King, who had a hit album with Tapestry, which to this day people imitate, greatest songwriter, one of the greatest songwriters of all time, was on Yo MTV Raps as our first guest. The one thing we wanted to defy with Yo MTV Raps was any and everybody was welcome. That was it. So when Shaq ran on and took off my bigger jacket and left with it, when Lawrence Fishburne ran on the set and scared the living bejesus out of us, when Ice-T tied us up with DJ Evil, oh, I forgot the guy's name.
Evil E?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone was welcome.
Yeah, Rhyme Syndicate, NG and Evil E.
Even when, and I know this is controversial, Bill Cosby called to be on Yo MTV Raps.
Oh, wow.
Come on, man. Eddie Murphy was on Yo MTV Raps. Will Smith,
and
before the slap, was on your MTV Raps.
But yes, but sir. Doctor, this is how you influenced us, because King started this 8 years ago. I've been blessed to be part of this for the past five. And my brother, you know, and myself with other people, because we don't do this on our own, because we got so many people,
mm-hmm.
Dyer Lansky, you know, so many others.
My dog Rampage, known Rampage since
yes.
DAU days, plus Yo MTV Raps, Leaders of the New School, Busta Rhyme, Live Fridays, yes sir.
Yeah.
Yes sir.
And you all helped to influence us, because you had such a wide cross section of people that wasn't, as you all really found attraction and momentum, you all didn't just relegate it to just artists. Anybody who was part of the hip hop culture, whether movies or music, you all bought on. And
well,
I want to
correct that for a moment.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I believe hip hop now as a term is overused,
mm-hmm.
as rock and roll has been, because what
right.
we define,
okay.
and what I, that's what I'm trying to say, is we welcome people into the hip hop culture. So when I went
got
to
you.
When we went to MTV's Video Music Awards, and Ed
mm-hmm.
and I showed up, and droves of people, white, black, Puerto Rican, green, orange, Mexican, purple, Chinese, you name it, cheered, and MTV exec said, why are they getting so much love? When Prince
right.
invites us to watch him rehearse with Arsenio Hall, it's like, how did that happen? When Michael Jackson stops me in an elevator to talk to me, it's like, whoa. And he's laughing. He said, yo, I saw what y'all did to me. That was funny. And some people thought he was going to be angry. He laughed. He understood the joke when Team Money used to dress up and act like the real Michael Jackson. It was humor, jokes, fun. But it was to embrace music, culture, and purpose. That's what it always was about. So when I say the Fat Boys were one of the greatest rap groups of all time, they were. They were MTV
yeah.
darlings before there was Yo MTV Raps. We
yeah.
tend to forget. We forget things. I do not. Because each one of those pioneers and blessed individuals gave me an opportunity to be on Yo MTV Raps. So that's why I always say we were fans. That's why for us it was like everybody. If the plumber could come on and beatbox, get down and come on the plumber, get down. Dre, who the hell was that plumber? I don't know. He was outside. He didn't get down. So he was on the show. Help us put him on the show. Put him on the show. That's how we, that's what it was about to us. It wasn't about holding anybody back. We even had some rude guests. Come on, we had this one rude guest from England. Can't even remember his name. But he sat there and had the meanest face. And Ed and I were doing our best. And Ted said, yo, get him. Y'all say y'all tried. Get him. Do what you got to do. And Ed and I still respect the dude. But when he got off the set, we tore him apart. But the goal wasn't to say we're going to pick and choose who's the best, who's the worst. That's why we never said, oh, this is the number one video from us. We programmed Yo MTV Raps today.
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning when we started to the last episode, we programmed it. So when you saw those videos, those are the ones we got approved for MTV so we could play them. Sometimes
right.
we couldn't get them always through. We had to wait. We played Vanilla Ice because they requested it. Did we like
right.
it? Not at first, but we're still respecting him for doing what he did. Period.
Right.
Period.
Right.
We played Rico Suave. Come on.
Geraldo. Yeah, Geraldo. Yeah.
We don't. Why we got to hate on the man? There's no hate on the man. We played the Booyah Tribe. Bone Thugs and Harmony. You see what I'm saying? That was Yo MTV Raps. It wasn't about telling somebody what you did was corny or wrong or this, that, and the other. It was about Mr. Goody Mob, play it. Play it.
And that's
because when
that,
you
that
put that out to the world,
yeah,
the world's watching, and they're either going to like it or they're not.
And that's the beauty of it, because at the end, music is subjective. It's all about finding audience. That's, I know that was our, you know, back in the day when you're growing up, you had the joke about be home before the street lights were on.
Mm-hmm.
You all in Rap City were our street lights. We made sure we were home by 4 o'clock and 4:30 to catch y'all, you know, because, yeah.
We played JJ Fad, Oak Towns 357. Mm-hmm. I can go down the list.
When you look at the business side of it, what was going on at that time with some of these artists and the record contracts, because you all were privy to that as well in terms of knowing what was going on to some degree in that business. What did you see then that was going on, and how has the business changed now in terms of promotion, marketing, the contracts that these artists sign?
Well, we create, and I can say this very humbly, and I can brag, we made millionaires and billionaires.
We believe it.
Yes,
we
did.
We know it. No, we don't.
And at the time,
we know it. We know it.
At the time, remember
mm-hmm.
this. At
yes,
that
sir.
Time, there was no technology the way things are. So marketing and promotion was a hand-to-hand business.
Mm.
And for people to get on Yo with us, I can only speak for myself, and I can speak
uh-huh.
for Ed and T. We never took a bribe. We never took a payoff. I can't speak for anybody else, but I know we didn't take it. And I know we've been flown places and offered trips and done stuff and did interviews. We interviewed Mike Tyson before a heavyweight fight in Las Vegas with Don King.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I even broke his fence. Funny, one of the funny episodes on Yo. Absolutely. But the business changed because the money changed.
Got
the sense of artistry changed. And I was blessed to get to know the people I was humbled by growing up. When you grew up on the Jackson 5 and you get to meet them, and I met them several times in my life as a youngster and then as being the host of this phenomenal international show. When you get to hang out and I got to stay over Prince's, who invited me out with my late partner, Ricky Lee Mensch, and I'm hanging
mm-hmm.
and talking with him. And he's I'm in a press room with all these people, and I raise my hand up and go, Dr. Dre, yo, he said, come on, man, I know who you are. And I'm like, what? Okay. And we're laughing and joking. And then he says, okay, we'll see everybody here tonight for the thing. And Big Chick walks over to me and says, yo, your friend wants you to come upstairs. I said, okay. I said, can I bring my partner, Ricky? He said, no. I said, come on, man. He said, that's the reason I'm here. I know. No. He said, I'll tell you what. If you come up here, you have to leave his tape recorder. I said, no. If he can't bring his stuff, I'm not coming up. He said, okay. Talk to him and tell him the rules. So I talked to Ricky and I explained to him. He said, but I said, Rick, just be cool, man. Be cool. Because I had met Prince beforehand. So as soon as we get upstairs
right.
in this room, you have to wait for the book, and I'll tell you the rest of the story.
Understood. Understood. Look, we're gonna get it when it drops. I mean, we're gonna we do books heavy on this show. Books and documentaries, we do it heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so
documentary heads over here for real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great documentaries out there. A lot of great folks with stories. And I go because I read a lot, I watch a lot. I listen more, and I talk a lot. So excuse me for talking.
No. We want you to talk.
Good,
because
man.
This is, dude, you, this, we, you know, as I was saying, we've done so many shows. We've had so many legends. We, you know, shout to DJ Yella, shout to Rampage we've had on the show, you know. Shout out to
DJ
Yella.
Big shout out to my man, the Godfather of West Coast Hip Hop, Alonzo Williams. Well, he and I do a show on Thursday night called the Legendary Connects. So we're going to get y'all to come on the show and connect with y'all. Bernadette, Queen Bernadette will work that out. When is said? So that's going to be without a doubt.
Yes, sir.
The one thing, the blessings that I've had in my life, and big shout out to DJ Battle Cat, just got off the phone with him, is I always remain humble to the people I speak with. And people say, well, are these people your friends? I said, no, most of them are my associates. I count my friends on one hand. And most of them I had because I was a child. You can get to be my friend. We can grow and become friends. And we can be blessed to continue that relationship. But I don't like fair weather, oh, because I had a hot record, a hot video, a hot movie, and we the best of friends. And then when that goes away, I can't get you on the phone. That's ridiculous.
Man. Yeah. And one thing we appreciate about you so much, and shout out to Pat for making this happen, you know, King and myself with so many others that work with us, we're an independent operation. You know, we've reached out to a lot of people. You know, a lot of legends we've had on the show. Some people didn't think we were big enough to come on, you know, to come on our show. So we appreciate
no such a thing.
And respect.
No such a thing. I don't know who puts that measuring tape out. Because, see,
right.
I come from, and that's why I keep repeating WBAU at Adelphi. And I used to drive and pick up people. I went to the Bronx and picked up Chuck Chillout to come on our show.
Mm-hmm.
I drove and had to pick up Cool DJ Red Alert. I had to pick up the Beastie Boys. Run DMC lived in Queens, so that was easy. LL Cool J was in Queens, so easy. But other people, I drove in my car, picked them up, and brought them back to the show. And when they hung out and were there so long, they were like, yo, I got to tell everybody, yo, y'all are no joke out here. So we cross-sectioned a lot of Long Island before artists were super popular. Before, when Salt and Pepper was just super nature.
Mm.
Yeah, we've been there. De La Soul, we've been there. Prince Paul, Stetsasonic. So that's why I said, there's no such thing as, oh, you're not big enough. How do you think this thing we call hip-hop culture started?
Right.
Someone didn't wake up one morning, turned on the lights and said, okay, here it is, hip-hop culture. It didn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it, because we have interviewed people that were, we don't discriminate. We've had Chef, shout out, you know, Chef Shay of Shay's Way in Las Vegas. We've had artists that do paintings for like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Shout out Sinister Monopoly, a.k.a. real name Jason Barbour out of Manhattan Beach, California. We've interviewed wrestlers. Shout out, Stevie, you know, what happened to Harlem Heat? When we look at the tapestry, y'all, of our human existence, when we look at everything between music, movies, art, whatever endeavor we choose in our existence, the one common thread we have are three things. We can chop it up over good food. We can always express our feelings. And at the end of the day, as human beings, we respect each other for our differences. We embrace rather than separate. We wanted to get to the book that you all wrote, Naked Under Our Clothes, which I do have. And it's hilarious. And it's informative. It's heartwarming in terms of how did that book deal come about in terms of when the time came for you all to tell, you know, about your experience in that?
Well, we were doing Hot 97 Radio in the morning, and our manager got a call in regards to them wanting to do a book with us, and we went through different iterations and ideas of what we wanted to do, and it was our manager and Linda West from Tin Pan Apple, who actually came with the idea to make it more of a coffee table book.
Yes, sir.
So you saw pictures, and we told fun stories about the things that we did, interviewing Roseanne Barr and Tom Arnold when we had a show on MTV called The Show, which was a number one late night show. Never understood why I couldn't go any further. We did it on spring break with Super Dave Osborne and our house band, Tony. That's how the book came about. It was telling stories about shared experiences to that moment. And we used to do the song, "We're Naked Under Our Clothes." "We're Naked Under Our Clothes" on the morning show. So that's how the title came about.
Now, the Who's the Man movie, dropped in 1992, also bought by, and of course, the soundtrack was just bananas. Because we want to get to how the movie came about, because it was an all-star casting in terms of so many people, you know. Guru, as you said, Ice-T, Salt and Pepper was in
Guru.
It. So, Dennis Leary.
Yes.
We definitely got to ask about how y'all put in a police cruiser popping on 16 switches. And, of course, the soundtrack was from this artist from Brooklyn who was just beginning to get his start. But when we first heard it, because the soundtrack came out in 92, and then it rocked all of 1993 with Party and Bullshit by the late, great, Notorious B.I.G. Tell us about how this.
Yes. Biggie Smalls is the illest. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, simple and plain. I'll tell you a quick story about the movie.
Go ahead, please.
We were searching around trying to decide it was time to do a movie at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had been in the movie Juice, and we had did New York Undercover. We had did a little cameos here and there. And everyone kept talking about us and our talent. And at the time, Eddie Murphy and his company, Eddie Murphy Productions, wanted to do a pilot with Ed and I, which was really strange because everybody, comedians that were in the pilot, ended off that going on and having huge careers with Living Color and stuff like that. Margaret Chow, David Alan Greer, Tommy Davidson was in our pilot, to name a few. MTV said, no, we want to do your first movie. We're going to do it. So they did this movie called Joe's Apartment. They said, go see Joe's Apartment. And I'm telling you, you guys are going to be so good for this. So we're like, okay, we'll check it out. And I went to go see Joe's Apartment, and it was about this guy who moved into this apartment. Who
with
had
a whole
bunch
of roaches. Yeah,
I remember. What the fuck? There was no movie about no roaches. Are y'all crazy? And our manager, Charles Stettler, who also managed the Fat Boys, said, no, we guys need to do a movie. So Ed and I sat down and we came up with a concept. We wanted to do a buddy film, and we were debating whether it was going to be like undercover cops, detectives, or police officers. And we had to find a common thread. And I think Ed and I came up with the idea. And I think Ed came with the idea about the oil in Ireland, but the idea about being barbers that were forced to becoming cops is what started the whole Who's the Man thing. And when we first did Who's the Man, there was only one cameo in the whole movie. But when people heard that we were going to do this, Chris
everybody
Cross
was
came
like,
on.
We want it.
Ed went out on tour and was hosting tours for Chris Cross at the time. And he got them to come on and do a scene. And then everything started manifesting. The only artist that was slated to be in there was Salt and Pepper.
Right.
That was it, because Salt was playing my love interest, and Pepper was playing Ed's love interest. And then as it kept growing, they kept making up parts. So Yo-Yo showed up and was a part of it. Let's see. Queen Latifah became a part of it. Heavy D was in it, late, great Heavy D. And even Terrence Daniels from Empire? Yeah, Terrence.
Terrence
Daniels. Terrence Howard is in Who's the Man, believe it or not. Flavor Flav, Run DMC got to play the detectives, including the late, great Jam Master Jay. Flavor Flav was in the movie. I asked Chuck Tucker, I ain't doing no movie, Trey. I ain't doing no movie. KRS-One was in the movie. Ice-T became in the movie. Moni Love, Bumpy Knuckles, a.k.a. Freddie Fox, was in the movie. Ken Ober, Colin Quinn was in the movie. I mean, Everybody wanted to be, so we just kept putting people in the movie. That's how all the people got in the movie. You know, Cypress Hill. Be Real from Cypress Hill was in the movie. So when people say, well, how come there wasn't a whole bunch of West Coast folks? Because no one was planning to be in the movie at the time. Even Bushwick Bill from the Ghetto Boys. They flew up on their own and got in the movie. They showed up and we made a part and put them in. He was slated to be in the movie. Big Les was in the movie. I mean, but a lot of folks, it wasn't written that way. It was supposed to be like a crime drama with comedy in it, and this whole idea about us being barbers who have to solve the murder of, it's supposed to be our father figure slash uncle who was killed for his barbershop. So the great Bajaj Joel was in it. I mean, just folks came out the woodwork. Dennis Leary was in it. And that whole scene that we did, Dennis and I, you have to read about that in the book. There was a huge bet that was done that day for that scene. And it just worked out. And we ended up going down into Mexico and doing a movie with him called Gunman and Mario Van Peebles. And Rakim was in the movie. No Face was in the movie. Oh, yeah. Everybody and their mom was in that movie.
Our cast.
Yeah, and like we were saying, you know, Dre, this is what made it beautiful because it was so organic. Like you said, I mean, you just named damn near 50 people that just basically, you know, it was like a big ass house party and everybody just came by and chilled.
Naughty by Nature, you know, who did Hip Hop Hooray, we just let them perform it. Because Ted directed it, late great Ted Demme, and we just dealt with it like Yo MTV Raps is making a movie. That's how
and it was so organic to have everybody in it. And, you know, King and myself, we talk off the air about it in terms of when we look at albums with features, you know, we look at movies back in the day. When we look at movies like Boomerang, Do the Right Thing, you know, Jungle Fever, Juice, you know, Fresh. I mean, to see Boys in the Hood, Trespass, to see everybody, because this is a time in black cinema where we're seeing a lot of these up-and-comers, you know, and it doesn't seem like there's this whole song and dance, you know, they give you that, we'll do lunch, you talk to my people, I'll talk to you. It's like it was just we had an idea, reach out to this person and see what they say if they want to be, and it was done. It was really an organic.
The reach out to people
go ahead.
Is, like I said, when we first started it, no one was reaching out because we weren't thinking of it in that fashion. So the few people we asked, they were paid, like Dennis Leary and company, they got paid to be there. They were playing parts. Like Sean Pepper, they were playing parts. But then as it started to keep going, and we were calling people, and people were calling back, hey, yo, can we get in this? Leaders of the New School was in the movie. That just kind of happened. And it was like, okay, let's do it.
Right,
and then we just made
up
stuff for them to do that fit what we were. Instead of saying we needed four guys in a car smoking weed, we said, well, the cleaners do it. They smoke weed anyway, so it'll be okay. So it became okay. Those are those kind of things kind of worked out. And the only thing that happened that was unfortunate is that when the movie opened, it opened against the Rodney King verdict. So we had this huge box office in the East and in the South.
Yeah.
And on the West Coast, unfortunately, they were burning L.A. to the ground. So I don't think anybody was worried about going to see Who's the Man at that time.
But you all
and in the movie game.
Movie.
Yeah, but in the movie game, that's not how it works. And that's I explained some of that in the book. No disrespect to anybody. But,
But when you all think, when we think about you all made a classic book, made a classic movie, what was it like, you know, in terms of seeing, did you all know that this was going to be as monumental for you both as it was in terms of just everything you all contributed? Because you all, we can't mention hip-hop history without mentioning you. And, you know, Ed Lover, you know, child, we can't do it without mentioning y'all. And this is something you all love.
Thank you for that blessing. Thank you for that love. Thank you for those flowers that we receive on a daily basis, and I'm very appreciative of it. And I could speak for Ed and for T. Yeah, they feel the same way about it. When we were doing it, it was like going to Vegas with $1,000 scrammed in your pocket, and you were trying to make rent. You never knew what was going to happen. The money we made versus what we could have and should have made in today's world, it's the way it was. See, and you can't go back and say, oh, we didn't get what we were supposed to back then. That was back then. That was that time. There was no internet. If the internet existed, we did Who's the Man? Who's the Man would have been a blockbuster. But it was, as you call it, a hip-hop classic. I'm blessed, period. I'm blessed. That's all I can say.
Growing up.
Around the stream anyway.
What was it like for you growing up in terms of, you know, your upbringing and ultimately finding your way into the radio game in terms of just, you know, I mean, tell us a little bit about your time, you know, in terms of, you know, from you being, you know, coming into the, you know, from the universe to the earth and finding, you know, your way in all of this.
The one thing about me that most people know, and as Chuck would say, and I always refer to Chuck because Chuck always comes up with these quotes about me. He says, yeah, that's Dre. That's what Dre does. He says, Dre never dreams small. He can't even spell it. Everything he does is huge. He always thinks big vision. And if it fails, it may fail miserably. But if it hits, it's huge. So from the time I decided to DJ, thank you to my brother, Fred Brown, Hollywood Brown, my cousin Warren, my late great cousin who taught me, and the countless other folks who instructed me and gave me that inspiration, Grandmaster Flash, sneaking up to the Bronx to watch him perform, Cool Herc and Herculoids, and being seen by my aunt saying, what are you doing here, and having a race to the train and get on before she told my mother, to watching other great DJs like Infinity Machine, King Charles, Disco Twins. I always loved the music, and I always loved what DJing did to people and how I wanted to meet girls. So you play the right record, you meet the right girl.
Right.
And they always would come up to a DJ and whisper in the ear, play that, could you play this song? And I remember I went to a block party where my cousin lived, my cousin Kevin, who amazed me. He was the only man I know who had 12 working turntables in his bedroom before there was a DJ and mixer and all that stuff. I was like, how do you do this? And always had milked on James Brown. And I went to this block party, and I saw a DJ for the first time. And a band played, and a DJ played when the band stopped. And I watched all the girls running up to this guy. And he would frown and shake them off and then play the record, and the girls would go crazy. And I said, I got to do that. I'm a musician. I play bad trumpet. I'm in a band at school. But the reaction he gets by playing a record, I got to do that. I don't know how. I got to do that. I grew up with the late, great Frankie Crocker on the radio. Chuck Leonard, late, great Chuck Leonard. So many people, when WBLS took over FM, and growing up listening to AM radio in New York. So I was always perplexed by the DJ. But when I started DJing and we started doing our gigs late on a Saturday, and we used to, at the end of the gig, when we're packing up our equipment and we put out our portable radio with the aluminum foil on it, and we tuned into Mr. Magic on WHBI, and making tapes from that. And listening to him, I said, I can do that. I got to figure a way to do that. I want to be a part of that. How can we be a part of that? So I always looked for that. So by the time I got to Adelphi University, thank you to my girlfriend with the red leather pants and the big booty that made me chase after and go to Adelphi University, I found WBAU. being in that class with Chuck D, Bill Stephanie, and Harry Allen. I got to ask him. And they introduced me to BAU. I heard about BAU, but then I got to be there. I never realized it was at Adelphi University. And the rest is pretty much history.
Hey, we got Pat on, man. What's good, man?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, guys? I apologize for the tardiness. Dr. Dre,
hey.
How are you tonight, sir?
You're tardy? Okay, well, I got to go. Thank you, everybody. We're talking about you won't come late to my interview. I got 5 minutes, and I got to be out. But anyway.
Nah, I know, man. I asked Eric, man. I feel terrible, man. I'm just glad.
No worries.
I'm so thankful you came on, though, Dre. And, you know, I interviewed you a couple years back on my other show. I always tell people you were my favorite guest. And I really wanted my two co-hosts that never got to talk to you, I really wanted them to have the bulk of this interview anyway, because it was a special moment to me. I wanted them to have it, too. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why there's always room for a part two.
Always. You're always
so much more I'm doing.
You can ask these guys, before I invited you on the show even, you can ask these guys, you can even look on our YouTube and you'll see that I consistently let everybody know that you're the reason why I do radio, and I believe that you're the reason everybody does radio.
Thank you.
Your show, to me, was the first show that we cared about the hosts. You guys weren't just here, this is the new video. You guys had personality, you had character, and I think that what you guys did was so groundbreaking that we wouldn't have any of these things, that things wouldn't be the way they are if you guys didn't do what you did. And I consistently let people know that the reason why I even do this is because of you. That's 100% fact. Yeah, you're an icon.
And to be honest with you,
and,
Ed and I sat down before we shot one frame of your MTV Raps. We said, whatever we do, don't make up a version of yourself. Let's just be ourselves. Everything we do is what we did, who we are. Bring those experiences to the screen, because it's so easy to get lost into the hype and try to act like you need to be here. And even with its popularity, whether it be on television, film, radio, books, records, you name it, we brought who we were to our career. That was it. This is who we are.
Yeah. And I think that laid the format for everything. I've said this before, I think anybody that is behind a microphone, behind a camera, that broadcasts hip-hop in any way, I trace everything back to your show. I think that you guys laid the blueprint. You guys did it right. You guys were about the culture. And you made it fun. You made it important. You know what I mean? Like, you provided every aspect of it. I feel like it was the best representation in its purest form of what this thing is supposed to be about. And I think that everybody owes you a bit of gratitude for that. I honestly believe that. So,
thank you.
I kiss the ring, Jay. I kiss the ring, man. And, you know,
thank
you're
you
always
blessing.
Welcome on our show, brother.
I'm on it. And I said to the gentleman, I do a show every Thursday with the West Coast Godfather Hip Hop, Godfather West Coast Hip Hop, Legendary Connects, and my great VA, Queen Bernadette, the great connector of us all.
Good.
And we got to get you guys to be on the show. But as I always say to everybody, hey, this is part one. We're definitely going to do a part two. I got stuff to talk about now and more. I work with my Dr. Dre's Victory Foundation that deals with what I go through from a health position, because I consider myself being super BAD, super bad. I'm a blind amputee, I'm a type 2 diabetic, and nothing slows me down. So we have some very interesting things that are going to be coming up in the next few months that we're working on and putting some things together, and the opportunities will be abundant. So as the gentleman was saying earlier, oh, we're worried about if this show is big enough for you. No. Am I blessed enough to be here? I thank you.
Man, we appreciate you, Dre. We're definitely going to stay tuned, and we definitely got to do a part two to this, man. And I'm definitely going to follow everything you're doing, man. We appreciate you greatly, Dre.
And vice versa.
Really appreciate you.
And vice versa.
We
Dre, we love you so much, man, and we have to say we have to say this to our legends while they're alive. Like Digital Underground said back in the day with their song "What's Up with the Love." Rest in peace to Tupac and Shock G.
Yes.
We love you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I tell
everybody one thing so they can stop calling me every time somebody passes away? And they go, Dre, are you okay? I'm okay. What's the matter? So-and-so passed away. We're just checking to see if you're alive. I'm alive. Thank you. I'm good. Appreciate it. But big up to everybody. And if you want to reach out to me, if you guys don't mind, if I just say, you can reach me on your Instagram and Twitter. It's DOCTORDRE 39, Instagram or Twitter. Please check in, check me out, hang out. Love to get back and forth with you. And like I said, there's got to be a part two.
Man, definitely.
I'm blessed with you guys asking me to be on. And there's more to talk about.
Man.
So,
man, we'll do many parts as you want, Dre. You're always welcome on. And we mean that.
Thank
so
you.
We definitely will reach out in due time for a part two for sure.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dre. My hat's off to you, sir.
Tip of the cap. Tip of the cap.
Yeah.
There you have it, man. The legendary Dr. Dre, man. And, man, I apologize for my tardiness, guys. I'm so glad you came on and you guys held it down for me. But for real, I wanted you guys. I always said that Dre was my favorite guest. And, you know, I wanted you guys to have the bulk of the interview anyway because it was the first time I had Dre on. It meant so much to me. I wanted you guys to have that same experience I did, you know what I mean? Yeah. To me, this is, like, iconic, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, so the interview Dr. Dre, like, to me, it means a lot, you know what I mean? So I wanted you guys to share that, you know. I want you guys to have that same memory I got, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my bad, man. I thought you hung up, my brother. I'm sorry. I thought you hung up, Dre. My bad, man.
No. I'm about to.
Oh, no.
Like I said, okay, if we can get together, we'll set up a part two, and we'll go over some of the stuff, like I said, I'm doing with the foundation and what I want to do to help folks. And that's why I said I'm very particular to go out right now. People are like, oh, come on, Dre, go. I go, not yet. The pandemic isn't gone, and I want people to I want to end on a little political health and love note, and I put it in that order.
Go ahead.
I want to
go
say
ahead.
That your viewers, your listeners, that we all need to get up and come together, all people, all cultures, all shades, all genders, and do what we need to do in November to make sure we get rid of these Republican representatives out of our government. Because don't blame Joe Biden. Don't blame Kamala Harris if things aren't working. They're limited unless you give them the representation in the Senate and in the House to pass the laws that you want passed. The Supreme Court has already showed you their color. They repealed the rights for women with Roe versus Wade. Let me repeat that. They have repealed for the first time in the history of the United States, taken away the rights of women to control their bodies. I really do not care your position on abortion. That's not my concern. If you want to be right to life, God bless you. You want to be right to choice, God bless you. But you do not have the right to take away a woman's choice to do what they do with their body.
Absolutely.
And when 10-year-olds are being sexually abused, impregnated, and they're then being persecuted for having an abortion from a 10-year-old, if we don't come together, then don't blame the white man. Don't blame Joe Biden. Don't blame Kamala Harris. Don't blame the Democrats. Blame yourself. I don't know what in people's mind think that these Republicans are playing. If you haven't been watching the congressional hearings, that's on you. You're missing the information. These folks are not playing. Second, if we don't in our community do something about gun violence and are personal genocide to our communities, then we need to hang it up. It's done. I don't care if people say it's drill rap that's doing it, Biggie and Tupac did it, or it was a Nipsey also. No, we're doing it. We are eliminating ourselves. When 13-year-olds are shooting at each other for gang prowess, it's time to put the brakes on everything. We know who's doing this. You know who got the gun. Oh, but the police are gunning us down. For every one innocent they kill, how many do we kill per day? What mother and child needs to be shot going into the local bodega? What 11-year-old girl going to the nail shop needs to be gunned down? What baby in a stroller at 2 years old needs to be riddled with bullets? Don't blame nobody. Blame us. We have to make change. Not talk, not preach. I ain't into that. And I'm not into marching up and down the street screaming anything. I'm into let's do this. Because when the game started, and I won't call it the game, when we did self-destruction, you headed up to self-destruction, after the great Scott LaRock was assassinated, we're still doing the same things. What's wrong, people? Don't blame anybody. We know who's doing this. We know in what community this is about. Not just talking the talk. I've walked the walk. I've been there. I've been in the middle of Blood and Crip meetings with guns on the table with Jim Brown and company. I've been all over the country with nonsense. It's like, yo, we're killing each other. This is genocide. We're doing it to ourselves. So I end with, like I said, we have to find the love. And people say, Joe, why do you always keep saying love? Because love is stronger than hate. Hate carries weight. It just does. If we could find the love, then maybe we could talk that 13-year-old to put that weapon down. Maybe we could talk to that gang members to say, we got to stop this. Maybe we can get Chicago to calm down. Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, Nassau, Suffolk, Compton, Houston, Atlanta, Miami. Do I need to keep going? We can't even go to a party anymore. You can't even go to a funeral and people are doing drive-bys. There was a pool party here on Long Island, and the dude shot up the pool party. Why are we shooting pool parties up? Where is the love? And that's what I preach. I preach the love. And I will do everything I can. Because I follow El Hajj Malik Shabazz, a.k.a. Malcolm X. I explore what the great Dr. Martin Luther King wanted to do. But now, no more excuses. And the mega, all these folks that died before we drop the beat, say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud. We all have to come together. And I ain't singing no Kumbaya, and I refuse to sing We Shall Overcome. It's time to do it. And I mean it. No more self-destruction harmony songs, because nobody seems to move. It's time to get everybody. And I believe in Second Amendment rights, because we must prepare for the Civil War that is in place, happening to us right now. Ask the children and the families in Vivaldi, Texas. We're killing fourth graders? This is what we're doing? We're letting white supremacists gun down people in Buffalo at a grocery store? This is what we're doing? We even had the white supremacist climb the building in a dress. He was determined. He tried to take 83 people out. This is what we're doing, people? Everybody has to step up now. No more punching Asian people in the face, telling them they brought COVID over here. No more of that. No more going up against the people of the LGBTQ community. We need everybody, no matter what your personal feeling is. Everybody ain't going to agree. But if everybody gets wiped out, does it matter after that? Does it really matter? So I want to bring the love. Let us bring the love. Because only we can stop this trend. And in November, if we don't put the right people in office, don't complain. If you didn't vote, if you didn't get out there and register and play with their cockamamie games and make your vote count, don't tell me about Biden didn't do anything. He's a president. He's not a dictator. She's a vice president, not a dictator. That jackass 45 tried to kill his vice president.
Yep. They don't talk about that, do they, Doctor? They don't talk about all that.
Yes, they did. That's what they talked about last night. Last night, that was all over TV.
Yeah.
They played the tape. He was saying it. And he's walking around free. So if you upset that Ray Ray's in jail, we should be doing campaigns. Put Donald Trump in jail. Because he said he was going to be, he caused an insurrection. He committed treason. How come we're not out there protesting and putting it away? Stop being fooled by the foolish. Let's bring the love, man. Let's bring the love. Love will conquer it all. And I don't care if you're a Christian, Catholic, Buddha, Muslim. I don't care what your faith is. My faith is love. It's a powerful faith. Powerful. The Creator, there's nobody. I fear no man walking on this planet. Because my spirit with the Creator and the Master Plan is that strong. When that spirit says it's time to rise, I'm right there. Right now, it's telling me let's march on. Not just bark and scream and holler and you go to the same old people. No, it's time for everyone. All of us. We all know. We all come from a struggle. Let's turn that struggle into our excellence, into our praise, into our love. Let's stop worshiping idols and worship our lives and protect our queens at all costs. Our queen.
Absolutely.
If that's not enough to get you out there and say, nope, we ain't having this no more. Biden got to change the Supreme Court. Because those three crazy crackers, and I call them for who they are, they're not playing. And Uncle Clarence Thomas, he got to go too. He got to go.
People got to understand what's going on with this, because the thing is that, like you were saying, Doctor, this is a lot of stuff that was done by the Supreme Court. So these decisions, these were not codified into law yet. So this is what,
done by us sitting on our hands for 40 years.
You are right.
Since Ronald Reagan was elected president to this day, we sat around thinking, my vote don't count. I ain't going to do nothing. They ain't going to help me. This ain't going to do this. This ain't going to do that. Well, you let Manchin and Sinema from the Democratic Party screw us out of the Build Back Better plan. Got to go. So we got to put more senators in place. We got to go and flood our voting block. We have to get Stacey Abrams to be governor of Georgia. How do we live with ourselves when two women working the elections was called out by that bastard, Donald Trump, and their lives have been changed forever and get death threats? And Kanye West publicist goes to the house and knocks on the door? What? We're just taking it. But these two queens, these two incredible, strong women have to fight every day to exist in this country. Are we crazy? I'm going to tell you the truth. Because if there's no women, there's none of us. If there's no women, I don't care what you say, there's none of us. And I would rather put a woman in charge. And some of those crazy backstabbers and liars to the throne. And let me tell you something. If I have another colored person of color say that they're tired of people, us calling each other victims and trying to holler and scream. We need to put them under the slave ship and let them figure out what a real victim is. There's too many people of color with fake privilege. Fake privilege. It's time to call people out for who they are and what they are and say, we're not going to take your crap no more. We need to speak the language of our people coming from different areas and other cultures. If you don't know Spanish, teach and learn Spanish. If you don't know how to speak French. Go learn French. Speak to our neighbors. Speak to our people and teach them what we've gone through and tell them, no, you have a misnomer of what is here. You don't understand this. Learn to speak Chinese, Japanese, and create a strong, real coalition. I ain't scared of bringing white folks in as long as you work with us. Work with us, because there's only one planet. And right now, this place is on fire. I don't know where all y'all located, but we're dealing with 100-degree temperatures and for real climate change. And those bastards in the Supreme Court just voted against the EPA and trying to bring this heat down. When every coast has sharks swimming up and down the coast, but yet our white brothers and sisters are trying to defy human nature. And they go out there on them boogie boards and surfboards. I said, well, be my guest. Sharks won't eat sushi anyway. I don't get that. When you have giant-sized ice blocks falling into the Atlantic Ocean, destroying the food the animals and fish eat off of because they wiped out the plankton. We better worry, because if the ocean goes, we're dead. If the seafood goes, we're dead. We're fooling ourselves. And y'all think, well, I got some air conditioning. Not when the grid goes down. How long do you think you're going to survive with 100-degree temperatures and sub-zero winters, minus 10s, where you've never seen snow before, all of a sudden you're getting a foot of snow? We're not catching on, folks. If we don't come together, we will not save our own human existence. So that's why I say, love is stronger than anything. Any AR-15, any JR-15, any cockamamie crazy senator, congressperson who thinks their survival is the only survival, not in human existence. Because the one thing about our people and hip-hop culture, we always find a way. From two turntables and a microphone, spreading this love all over the planet. Rock, rock, planet, rock. Don't stop. He rendered the lesson.
Man. Thank you so much, Dre.
Thank you.
The scientific soliloquy, the science of the super soliloquy, from the iconic legend himself, for which we can all learn those lessons. And lessons are infinite. For those listening out there in the universe, do the knowledge, decipher the language, and know the master of the method, or the method of the master, rather. Dre, you prescribed us and gave us a treatment of real food for thought. We can't wait for part two. We cannot wait for part.
I'm a collaborator. I'm not here to walk the walk alone. I move as a team. Never move alone. Welcome to the Terror Dome.
Yep.
Love you, Jay.
Love y'all. Y'all have a beautiful night.
Love you too, man.
Look forward to you.
You too. Thanks.
Oh, man.
Big shout out. We'll see you on Legendary Connects.
Yes, sir.
Love.
Definitely. Thank you, sir.
Man, definitely go Bill, man, with the legendary Dr. Dre from Yo MTV Rap. Dropping gems.
Yo, man. Yo, was it dope, yo? Yo, did you guys have a good interview with him?
That was past dope. That was legendary.
And I'm glad, bro. Like, I had so much going on today that, like, I never even realized that we were – I thought we were starting at 9, not 10. Like, I even said to Eric earlier, like, yo, bro, if I would have just said, like, the time, I would be lazy. I was like, yo, I might be a couple minutes late, just, like, 10 after. If I would have said 9, 10, he would have been like, no, bro, we started at 8. You know what I mean? And I could have made it. I didn't even – like, man, I was like, damn, man, I hope I didn't miss the whole joint, you know what I mean? But, like I said, though, like, I'm glad you guys got the, like, you, I mean, you guys know how much, that, like, his interview means to me on my, on the old show, you know what I mean? And, like, I really wanted you guys to, you know, I'm on this show now, man. Like, you guys are my boys, bro. Like, that interview, like, how, and no matter what style of hip-hop you're into, like, no matter what, like, that's... that dude's an icon, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care what you're into. Like, that's a Hall of Fame type shit. You get to interview a guy like him. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm glad you guys got to talk to him for an hour. You know what I mean? But I can't wait to listen to it back, man. I want to hear what all he talked about and shit, man. Because he loves to talk and he brings his A game every time. You know what I mean? Like, he'll give you good content. You know what I'm saying? But glad he came on, though, man. I got to say, I respect, man, a lot of you rappers out there can learn from Dre. We had that show booked like 2 weeks ago. Something came up the night of the show. He couldn't do it. And he waited about a week to reschedule with us because he wanted to make sure he could definitely make it. He didn't want to, not be able to make it twice. But he waited a little bit, made sure he could make it. Confirmed the date, came on, gave a great interview. A lot of rappers can learn from somebody like Dre. But, I'm really glad that you guys got the chance to interview him, man.
And it was a dope build, man. It was a real dope build. And we learned a lot about the history and part of that break that they was a part of. So I was basically mostly quiet for the most part. I wanted to soak it in.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I interviewed him, I mean, you lay down a question, man, and he'll give you a lot to where, like, you know, it's hard to, like, you know, we talked about the first time when we broke what we said, like, we were going to try to keep it, like, a half an hour. I mean, bro, I called in at 4 after, it's 9:32, and I called when he said he had 5 minutes left, you know what I mean, he still gave us a half hour. Like, he gives great interviews. Like, he gives you a lot. You know what I mean? Like, you probably have, like, 20 clips worth of good shit in there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But he says cool shit, too. Like, he don't just say, like, he'll give you, like, some cool shit about stories. He goes beyond just, like, the cookie-cutter answer that you can just fucking Google. You know what I mean? Like, he's definitely a great guest. I think that he's very... like, you know, he's very aware of, like, hey, you know, like, let's not make this a waste of time for either one of us, you know what I mean? Like, he gives a great interview, gives us great content, like, he knows what it's about, and he brings it, you know, his A game, and I'm glad to hear he's still out there doing it, too. He got his own show, too. I'm going to have to check that out.
Absolutely.
He's a very intelligent dude, man. Who has stories and experiences like Dre, you know what I mean? Like, imagine what that was like hosting that show, like, as the game turned, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, he was at the height of all of it, Dre. Like, you know, like, he saw, like, the Public Enemy phase, like, phase into NWA and then phase into Death Row and Bad Boy, like, he saw, like, he was right there in the middle of it. Like, he was, you know? So, like, imagine how much, like, behind-the-scenes stuff. You know? I mean, look how many just memories just Yo MTV Raps has. Like, when I'm thanking him and showing him, like, I respect him and shit, you got to understand, I'm from Pittsburgh. We got Hot 97. Like, when we first started getting anything from New York, you would get Ed and Dre's, like, what's it called? Not a simulcast. Syndication. like that his morning show was in syndication, like at least on the East Coast it was, because I know like Philly got it, Pittsburgh got it, Maryland got it. You know what I mean? Like we didn't get Hot 97 all the time, but like on our hip hop station, we would get Ed and, you know, Ed and Dre's morning show. And then we got like another hour show, like around like traffic time, like 5 o'clock or like rush hour. And, but it wasn't Flex though. It was, I can't remember who it was, but I don't know if we got Flex. Like, I was, you know, young and shit, but so, like, I know Dre as a radio personality. Like I know him from Hot 97 and Power. You know what I mean? Like I knew Ed and Dre, like, wow. Like I never didn't know who they were. Like, put it that way. Like my whole life, like, I either remember hip-hop with them having Yo MTV Raps, or I remember listening to them on the radio as well, like, as I grew up. So, like, there was never a time where they weren't, like, giving me the new hip-hop of the day, pretty much. You know what I mean? Like, and back then, man, like, for me, you didn't really care so much about the records they were playing. It was kind of like, you loved just the culture of it. And, like, back then, if you remember, like, if you were a real fan of somebody, like, the single wasn't always that great. Like, it was just kind of a single that appealed to everybody. You had to have that, like, song, you know what I mean? But you would listen to them to find out what all's going on, who all's dropping shit. They had dope interviews. Ed, Lisa, and Dre. And Lisa ended up, after they got rid of them, got fired everybody, Lisa ended up working for Howard Stern. But, like, I remember the roll call every morning. Like, I'd probably still know the words to the roll call in the morning and shit. Like, yeah, so, like, whenever I'm, like, giving Dre his flowers, like, I followed him my entire life. Like, him and Ed were, like, crucial people to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all the rappers that, like, are legends to me, like, I know them because of Dr. Dre and Ed Lover. You know what I mean? And, like I said, they were the first people that made you care about the host. Think about how important the host of a show was after Ed and Dre did Yo MTV Raps. Like, they had to have personality. Like, even if it was a totally different dynamic than what Dre and Ed had, like, but, like, they had to have a personality. Like, you couldn't just hire somebody to say, here's the next video. Like, nah, like, they had to be funny. They had, you know, they had to have something to bring to the table. They had to have some kind of, like, entertainment aspect to it. You know what I mean? And with, like, with them in their radio career, they came up in a crazy time. They had to deal with Howard Stern, Opie and Anthony, and the rival radio, you know, when they were at Hot 97 and Power came, and then they went to Power and everything. Like, they were part of that feud and everything too. You know what I mean? Like, caught in the, they lived through that. They lived through Star and Buck Wild. You know, like, they lived through, they were like at the radio station when Star and Buck Wild were causing controversy and shit. So, like, they had to be extreme too. Like, I remember seeing Ed Lover on, like, Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn back in the day. Cause, like, they had to get out there and get it themselves and, like, play the game. Like, they had to be still in the mix because there's all these new faces. And at the same time, Wendy Williams and Charlamagne were coming up. And we see what Charlamagne ended up working for Power and being with Envy and shit. Like, they lived through, like, the whole Star getting charged for the shit he said about Envy Kids. Like, you know, they had to compete with, you know, morning ratings with Howard Stern and Opie and Anthony. Like, even I missing shit. Like, you know, they were part of New York radio. Like all the numbers matter. Like, it doesn't matter, like, you're a hip-hop place. Like, it don't matter. Like, you got to get the numbers. You know what I mean? So, like, my whole life, I'm tuning in to Ed Lover and Dr. Dre to get music, whether it was the early days with, you know, like, NWA, like, Dre and the Chronic and shit like that, like, early in my life, to all the way up to, like, 50 Cent. Like, you know what I mean? Maybe even beyond. Like, but, yeah, like, I that whole time, I was getting new music from Ed and Dre. You know what I mean? So, like, that's how important that dude is to me. You know what I mean? Like, that's, like, a bucket list guest that was, like, that I really Like, I took a shot in the dark asking him back in the day if he'd come on. And he replied back, and I was like, no shit. You know what I mean? And, like, bro, he brought the fucking, the best interview I could have ever asked for. You know what I mean? I'm like, you guys have heard me talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, that interview meant the world to me, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad you guys got to experience it as well. Like, that's dope. I can't wait to listen to it back, man.
Man, well, we can't thank you enough.
Well, man, I guess I'm going to go ahead and sign off. But,
okay.
Man, I'm glad that went down. I'm glad you guys got to experience that, man. Thanks to Dr. Dre. Thanks to anybody that listened tonight. And thank you guys, man.
Oh!
Thank you.
All right.
All right, y'all. I'll talk to y'all soon, man.
Yes, sir.
No doubt.
All right. Y'all take care.
You too, Pat.